Come on, now talk it to me. Sing me a song. Let's keep the music grooving. We're going strong. Come on, a little.
And for Monitor 68, I'm Brad Crandall. Americans, they say, are among the luckiest and the happiest people on Earth. But are they? Well, here's a man who doesn't think so.
Americans today are the unhappiest they've ever been because of the war in Vietnam, high taxes, the decay of the cities, civil riots, inflation, the disappearance of family life, strikes, pollution of our air and water. I could go on. The lack of love, weak leadership, apathy, the shifting role of the sexes. You want more?
No, I don't mean to depress you, but that statement is certainly worth exploring. And that's just what we're going to do after this from Stephen Eady.
The two of us, there'll always be for you and me. The two of us, we'll always be together like the cat and the cream. For we're in a dream of our own. We're going along. Just the two of us, and we'll be always traveling alone. The two of us, our love will always stay between the two of us. It doesn't matter if the sky's cloudy and gray, we're happy away from the storm. We're closing in more, it's just the two of us.
I'll turn out the lights when all our friends have gone.
We'll wait for the moment when we're on our own.
Well, that's the way it's got to be, together alone.
The two of us, we both agree it's gonna be the two of us. When people talk, they smile and say they know we won't last. We're holding on fast to a dream. We don't know what they mean. There's still the two of us, and we will still be traveling on.
And late in the evening when my work is through,
just hurry on home, can't wait to be with you.
And finally when we're really on our own,
that's the way it's got to be, together alone.
The two of us,
about unhappiness in America. A weekly newspaper, the National Enquirer, recently sent reporters all across the country to capture the mood of the American people. What those reporters found out has been turned into a series of articles currently running in the National Enquirer. Editorial director of the series is Mr. Joe Cassidy. Mr. Cassidy, you've mentioned a long list of things Americans seem unhappy about. Matter of fact, they seem unhappy about just about everything that's going on.
Our survey found that people are worried about a wide gamut of things. Each one problem adds up to an overwhelming sense of frustration and worry for the average American.
Well, now, haven't people always been unhappy about practically the same things? I mean, you know, we've always had wars, and it seems to me we've always had taxes. I may be wrong.
That could be, but people feel they're much more unhappy now than they were 5 or 10 years ago. We asked them when they started feeling this deep sense of unhappiness, and to a man and woman, they said about 5 or 10 years ago. It seems that perhaps through this instant communications, things are just too quickly coming to people, and we can't assimilate it. We can't understand it.
Is there any kind of geographic difference in this unhappiness, let's say between city dwellers and country dwellers?
No, we assume that the people in the cities would have a higher incidence of unhappiness, but we went to such towns as Santa Claus, Indiana, with a population of 50, and they're unhappy. They can't understand why people won't come to Santa Claus and settle down, why industry doesn't come to their town. The town itself is on the way down, they feel. Business has left it for varying reasons.
Mm-hmm.
These people are unhappy. We found individuals who said that they personally were unhappy, but they felt that they were in a sea of unhappy people. They were surrounded. Their neighbors were unhappy. They said, look around you. You'll see nobody smiles anymore. There's very little happiness overtly shown.
Did you talk to any psychologists or sociologists about this unhappiness thing?
Oh, yes. We talked to psychologists, sociologists, psychiatrists, educators. We spoke to many leaders in government. We had one of the last interviews with Senator Kennedy before that tragedy in California. And he, as many other people did, listed the reasons. They, too, agreed that this nation is unhappy.
We constantly hear that television and radio advertising, and magazine and newspaper advertising for that matter, by exposing the good life to those who find it impossible to achieve it as such, make them unhappy. And yet, from what you said to me, those people who have achieved the good life and are able to buy all the goodies that show up in these ads are no happier.
We talked to a fellow who worked 2 years and two jobs. He moonlighted for 2 years in order to buy a boat. He saw this boat, and he wanted it desperately. And he worked 2 years, and he bought the thing. And he had it 6 months when it finally dawned on him. He spent as much time keeping it in repair as he had it in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, the two happiest times in a man's life is when he buys a boat and when he sells it.
And he did not enjoy keeping it in repair.
He did not.
I wonder, you know, if this is not in part the problem, that the real happiness for him was the joy of working to get the darn thing. And after he had it, of course, it wasn't really worth it to him.
That could be. We're sold recreation now. We're sold sex. And things just don't measure up to what we're led to believe they will measure up. We have the most affluent society in our history, and probably the world's history. And yet people are not happy with it. They strive and strive and struggle and work to get the material things, and then when they have them, they still don't have that one thing they're looking for, that contentment that I guess is happiness.
Raises some very interesting questions, Mr. Cassidy. I'm curious. I've got one question I've got to ask you. Are you happy?
I could be happier.
I didn't ask you that.
Right now?
Yep.
Yes, I'm happy.
Which proves, I guess, that there are some, say, exceptions amid all this affluent misery. Joe Cassidy of the National Enquirer, thank you for joining us on Monitor.
When you walk away from me, best thing that could happen to me, I said, 1 week she'll be out of my head. And the feeling is dead. I said, it's easy to get over it soon. Find another one. Calm down. It's as easy as pie. I said, life's fun if you give it a try. I said, don't fuss. Now you're not gonna die. I said, it's easy now. It's almost over. The long is gone, and life goes on. Then why this feeling that I must die? 'Cause I want you any way I can get you, love you any way that you let me take you, any way I can have you, and if I have to be.
Frankie Lane. At 18 minutes past the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
New York can be a wonderful city for children if they have something to do, but they need places to play and things to occupy their time. The Police Athletic League sees to it that 100,000 children have plenty to do. PAL runs a full-scale cultural program, which includes arts and crafts, ballet, dramatics, music, radio production, and photography, just to mention a few. PAL also operates a job counseling and training program for school dropouts, and a job placement bureau to help young people find work. This year, PAL has over 100 play streets and playgrounds throughout the city, where organized games and cooling showers make summer activities safe and happy. Now, this will be a wonderful summer for many boys and girls who can use and take part in the many facilities PAL offers. Yet there are many others that will not be that fortunate. PAL depends on you for its support. Every dollar helps a child to play, to learn, to grow at a crucial period in their lives. To change the world, you have to start small. For information on how you can help, write PAL, Box 333, New York 10003.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York.
In sports, Juan Marichal has pitched his 19th victory and Dan Sykes has won the Minnesota Golf Classic. Details on these and all the late sports stories coming up with Pat Herman right after Petula Clark and a bit of musical philosophy.
When love seems to let you down, when you can't turn around and run, you gotta stop, face the fact that the heartache has just begun.
I'm afraid I can't tell you.
You're kidding. How do you expect to sell cars if you won't tell people the price?
Well, let me explain. Only the price of this specially equipped Javelin is a secret. If you guess it, you can win a Javelin free. It's all part of the American Motors Dealers Smart Buyers Convention, where you can now save a ton of money on any American Motors car.
I think I love you.
Licensed drivers 18 and over eligible. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Now the latest scores and stories, and a look at the week ahead on Monitor Sports. Here's Pat Hernan.
Well, Brad, this is supposed to be a bad season for hitters, but today three pitchers showed the hitters how it should be done. Juan Marichal of the San Francisco Giants kept alive his hopes of winning 30 games this season by chalking up his 19th victory. The game with Houston went 11 innings, and there was Marichal at bat. Well, he hit a tie-breaking single with two out, and the Giants won 4-2. Marichal gave up only seven hits in the extra-inning struggle. Al McBean was another pitcher who turned slugger. McBean hit a grand slam home run as the Pirates beat the St. Louis Cardinals 7-1. In Oakland, California, Jim Nash had a three-hitter going for nine innings, then needed relief help, but beat the Minnesota Twins 4-3. The margin? Nash's home run in the fifth with no one on. At Cleveland, New York, and Philadelphia, it was pitchers doing what they're supposed to do, pitch. Louis Tiant and Stan Williams struck out 19 batters as Cleveland swept a doubleheader from the Yankees, 3-2 and 4-1. Tiant got 10 strikeouts in the first game, his 17th victory of the season. Lou Johnson, Joe Askew, and Tommy Harper had home runs. In the second game, Williams struck out 9. Duke Sims and Larry Brown homered for the Indians. Joe Pepitone hit a home run for the Yankees. At New York, Jim Maloney and Clay Carroll pitched a one-hitter, and Cincinnati beat the Mets 5-3. The lone hit, Cleon Jones' run-scoring double in the first inning. The victory went to Maloney, now 9-6. Tom Seaver, 9-7, took the loss. Veteran Larry Jackson threw a three-hit shutout for the Phillies, and they beat the Braves 3-0. And Dave McNally pitched a three-hitter for Baltimore as the Orioles beat the Tigers 5-1. Willie Horton hit his 26th home run of the year in the ninth for Detroit. Frank Robinson homered for Baltimore. In other games, the Chicago Cubs took a pair from the Dodgers, 8-3 and 1-0. Pete Ward singled home two runs in the first inning, and the Chicago White Sox beat the California Angels 2-1. And Ken Harrelson hit his 23rd home run of the season in the ninth for a 10-8 Boston victory over Washington. In the Minnesota Golf Classic at St. Paul, Dan Sike shot a 30 on the first nine and finished with a 64 for the day and the $20,000 in first-place money. Sykes of Jacksonville, Florida, started the day five strokes behind co-leaders Pete Brown and defending champion Lou Graham. Brown and Graham finally tied for ninth. On the first nine, Sykes had seven birdies and a bogey and was in the lead. Sykes finished the 72 holes over the Keller Golf Course, 12 under par with a 272. Ken Still finished second with a 273. Tommy Weisskopf finished third at 274. In tennis, Arthur Ashe, second-ranked tennis player in the U.S., whipped Marty Rizin in straight sets today and won the men's singles title at the 69th Pennsylvania Lawn Tennis Championships. Ashe beat Rizin 6-2, 6-3, 6-3, and scored 17 service aces in the process. Ashe, an Army lieutenant, is a member of the American Davis Cup team. Now look at that week ahead. Tomorrow night, Bob Foster, the new world light heavyweight champ, fights Charlie Belayat at Springfield, Massachusetts. On Tuesday, the USGA Junior Amateur opens at The Country Club at Brookline, Massachusetts. Wednesday, the National AAU Outdoor Swimming Meet opens in Lincoln, Nebraska. And the Western Open Golf Tournament's first round will be played Thursday at Olympia Fields Country Club. Saturday, a big day in horse racing with the $100,000 Delaware Handicap for three-year-olds and up at Delaware Park, the $75,000 Monmouth Invitational at Monmouth in New Jersey, and the $50,000 Whitney at Saratoga, New York. This is Pat Hernan, Monitor Sports.
We used to double date because we're sisters. But alas, our dates were few and far between. Oh, how we wondered why we missed with all the misters. Until Ultra Bright came on the scene. Ultra Bright entered our lives. Wow! Ultra Bright changed our whole lives. Now! All of a sudden, Cupid's arrows gone ping. I'm dating like mad, and I got a ring. We're such a gruesome twosome, believe us, it's so real. Ultra Bright, give your mouth sex appeal.
Ultra Bright toothpaste, the kickiest taste, the freshest breath, the brightest teeth. That's sex appeal.
Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
A reminder that National Farm Safety Week has just ended, but it's never too late to remind owners of farm homes about simple ways to prevent household accidents. Install grab bars and slip-proof mats in bath or shower, and sturdy handrails on every staircase. Make your farm home a safe home. That's called classical gas. Coming up on many of these same NBC stations, the world and Washington, with NBC News correspondent Ellie Abel. For Monitor, this is Brad Crandall.
Monitor goes to Miami Beach for pre-convention coverage next weekend on NBC Radio.